Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa. I'm your host. And in today's episode, I'm speaking with coach and bikini competitor Mariah Fontana. Mariah talks to us about the mental challenges of prepping for a physique show, what sort of person could consider competing and who shouldn't, as well as unknown things about competing. If you like the show, please subscribe and give us a rating or share the episode on your social media. Thank you so much. And as always, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes for more details. Now, on to my conversation with Mariah. Mariah Fontana, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited to talk about all things coaching, physique development, nutrition, and so on. But to kick us off, I would love to hear what's the number one thing you're excited for our listeners to learn today?
Yeah, I'm excited to really go over all things health, nutrition, fitness, longevity. And I think the thing that I'm most excited for anyone listening, that one woman listening that has maybe tried to get healthy and has had a really, really hard time, is knowing that it actually takes less than you think it does to achieve the health and the body that you want to. I know we've both been in the field of helping women in that aspect, trying and get to their goals. And I know I've been there too, where I think I have to do so much and eat like nothing at all in order to get my dream physique, but I'm really excited to just dive into the big rocks, like what are actually important when it comes to achieving your fitness goals.
I love it. Absolutely love it. I know that this is going to be very valuable for the listeners. Before we get more into the details, though, tell us how did you get into competing and coaching as well?
Yeah, it honestly goes way back. My mom and my dad both did bodybuilding competitions before I was born. So it's like a little bit in my blood. So it's pretty crazy how that all started. And then I grew up basically in the gym. My parents opened up a gym in my hometown. So I grew up doing like the boot camp classes with them and everything, and then going to soccer practice after. I was always very athletic and into sports, but I actually had to go through my own weight gain process. I played rugby in university, so I was a college athlete. I dropped out after 2 years. I wasn't an athlete anymore. I gained the weight, and it was the first time in my life I felt super uncomfortable in my own skin. And so after that, I realized, you know, I need to actually get a coach myself. I was trying it on my own. I had this ego that I was an athlete, so I should be able to do it on my own. And I just couldn't. You know, I struggled with the nutrition piece. I was working out 6 days per week. I thought I was, quote unquote, eating healthy, but I just couldn't lose that fat. Like I really struggled with that belly fat and not feeling like I looked like I worked out for all the effort I put in. So I hired my first coach back in 2019, and I'm a pretty balls to the wall type of person, and I didn't know any better. So I said, I'm going to hire a coach and we're going to do a competition. So that's really how I first got into it, was I hired one of the best in the industry. I looked up the top bikini competitors and who they were coached by, and I said, that one, I'm gonna pick him. So I got him as a coach for 6 months. I lost over 20 pounds, competed in my first show in 2020, and then the world shut down literally right after. So I'm sure we can get into all that post-show and everything after that, but that's really what kicked it off for me, and that prep and that journey showed me my way back to my roots and how I did actually want to be a coach and help other women through that process.
Very cool. And I have so many questions about competing and prep itself. But what came up for me there as well is, and I know you're probably open, or I hope you're open to speaking about that because you're also very consciously speaking about mental well-being and how it's all connected with health and fitness and so on. But I could imagine growing up in that environment probably also came with a lot of pressure. You know, if you have very fit parents and they run a gym, it's kind of that expectation of you can't get fat either, so to speak, or you need to live a somewhat healthy lifestyle. Is that something that was a challenge for you, or maybe even persists to be a challenge?
Yeah, it was, especially with nutrition. I found we ate so clean. Like it was the classic chicken broccoli rice for dinner. That was what it was. And it's not that we never got any other things. Like sometimes we would have like ice cream with homemade chocolate sauce or things like that, but we really didn't have processed food or things like that in the house. And so you think as a parent you're doing the right thing, which 100% I grew up super healthy, I had the right nutrients, I had enough protein, but at the same time it was almost too restrictive in the sense where when I did get out of the house, I wanted those chocolate bars, or I wanted that food that I couldn't have, or pizza more often, and not necessarily understanding the reason why we ate the way that we did, just knowing that it was healthy. So I think for me, the biggest thing that I wish was a bit different is I am a very logical person, and I think I would have understood this as a kid as well, was the reason why we're eating healthy, not just because it's good for you, but actually explain it to me, you know? And when I know and understand those things, I'm like, okay, I get it. So I didn't realize it actually developed a bit of a rocky relationship with food for me. And I did end up becoming super food focused after my competition for sure. But it was definitely that weird line of not living at home anymore and then choosing to be able to eat what I want. And I dove into like paleo diet. Like I tried the diets when I did then want to lose weight because I thought that that was what you had to do. So yeah, it wasn't detrimental by any means, but there are different things that started to come up for me that I started to notice.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And I think that's a really great learning from that experience for you as a coach, because it also probably means that nowadays you're very, very adamant about educating your clients on why they're doing what they're
Yes.
doing, as opposed to just saying, you shouldn't eat bread, full stop, or whatever. But like, hey, maybe don't eat that on a like 3 times per day, but every now and then, and that's cool, and it won't have your gluten sensitivity flare up, or whatever else it might be. So love it, because education is truly so powerful. And yeah, I guess the second question that kind of came up from your background story was when you said you were no longer an athlete after you left college and left competing in rugby. I could imagine that that was quite tricky for you in terms of an identity change, because probably all your life, or at that point, you were like, I'm an athlete, I'm a rugby player, or I'm a fit person, blah, blah, blah. That's who you are. And then you don't have that anymore. And I could imagine that that might have led to like a little bit of an identity crisis, or how was that for you?
Absolutely. It was a full identity crisis because you're right. I identified as an athlete. I had played sports since I was like 4 or 5. And so not having that, and then all of a sudden noticing my body change and not being confident in a bikini in the summer and thinking, what is going on? I've never been in this before. And then also, what do I do now? How do I fill that extra time, right? So I was going to the gym because I obviously knew how to train. I had those parents, but I wasn't doing the proper things. And then I would be like running on the treadmill to try and lose that weight after. And all I had ever known, I've actually trained a lot of ex-athletes, and it's cool because I went through that, so I know how to train their mindset out of that. But they had the same mindset as me from coaches, like you run, you do laps, you get that cardio. And they just think about all the activity that they were doing when they were an athlete, and that kept them in a certain shape and physique. But actually, a lot of the times, we don't want to be doing that much activity, and we actually don't want to look like that sport body. We want a healthy body with muscle now. But we get stuck in that mindset. If I was doing all these things, and that's when I was smaller, but you don't want to be smaller, you want to be healthier. So that was definitely a mindset that I had to overcome as well and focus on adding more muscle rather than just trying to get smaller, because I didn't realize that my dream physique was actually going to weigh a lot more than I thought I wanted to weigh, quote unquote, on the scale.
I really want to highlight that, because I think so many women are not aware of that fact, that their dream physique might be heavier than what they're focused on. And to the point of, oh, that's what I was doing in my 20s and it worked so well, I think that's another kind of mistake that we often make, we're thinking at that stage in life, this and that method, that diet or that training style or whatever got me to this physique. And then we apply it 15, 20 years later. And we don't take into consideration you now have had two, three kids, you have a way busier life. Your body's just not as forgiving anymore. Maybe hormones are a little bit out of whack also. And it's like just because it worked doesn't mean it's gonna work right now. We always need to take the situation as it is right now. But I love how you transferred that over or gave your mind and your body the chance to utilize all these changes into something positive and committing. I love your full commitment to your competition and just being like, I'm gonna do that. And if I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it the right way and the proper way. And I actually think that's one of the really beautiful things about the sport of bodybuilding or physique enhancement in general. I mean, there are a lot of probably negative aspects we can talk about later as well. But just the fact that most competitors, they know that in their off season, they need a build. And that means the scale is going to go up. And that's not just okay. That's what we want. Because if the scale doesn't go up, it also means you're not building muscle. So, I would love to talk to you a little bit, or would love to hear a little bit about what kind of mental state we need to be in if we want to consider competing, and we're like, what kind of personality, kind of person is probably a good competitor? And then maybe on the flip side, in which situations of life or what kind of person maybe does not benefit from competing?
Yeah, it's so challenging because that was my story. But anybody who asks me, I say wait at least a year because I went full into it. And by the time I had to step on stage, I was eating very, very low calories, like 1,000 calories per day. I was doing over an hour of cardio per day because I started at a point where my calories and metabolism wasn't as high as it should be, right? So you have no room to play with. And I De never regret anything. It's a part of my story. And I think it's important. It taught me a lot also coming out of that. But anybody that asks me, I always say, or I have a couple clients who I've taken on who we're going to do competitions in the future. And my rule is minimum 6 months with me and building before we even start a prep. Ideally, at least a year, because that way we're actually going to put muscle on your body to increase your metabolism. We're going to get you into a healthy place. Most women that want to do these things or start on a fitness journey have been chronically dieting on and off their entire life. So we got to make sure your metabolism is in a healthy place first. You shouldn't just be like, I want to go into a prep and competition like I did. Again, it's okay now. Like I learned from it, but going forward, you definitely need to be in a really, really good place. And post show was really difficult. I didn't weigh a lot. I weighed like 133, 134 pounds when I started. And then I was 109 pounds on stage, which is nothing. I'm 5'4 too. So that's very, very, very small. And I had muscle, but I was way smaller, right? And that was back in 2020. And so COVID literally happened that weekend. I was just able to compete and then we were in lockdown. So the gyms closed. I couldn't go to the gym. I was stuck in my house with food. And that actually developed a really bad cycle of restricting and binging. So I was like, I don't want to eat a lot of calories. I was terrified of gaining that weight back because I just worked so hard. So I would do random home workouts with little dumbbells, and then I would run outside to keep activity up. But I would restrict my food for most of the day. I would fast until like 12 p.m. and then I would eat. I would have my certain calories, and no one understands unless you've been out of a show how hungry you are at the end. Your ghrelin and your hunger hormones aren't functioning and firing properly, so they're still pumping and releasing even past the point of satiety. And so I would get to that point, and then I would just eat everything until I was like looked pregnant, I was uncomfortable, and I would still eat more because I just didn't understand it. It was my first show. And so that was hard. I did get it under control within that month or so, which was good, but it could have been really, really bad. And I've seen it be really, really bad for other people. And I've even had other times, like just this past show, it wasn't as bad, but still that weight gain. And after that, I took like 3 years off from competing. I didn't prep for my next show until 2023. I never got to step on stage because of other reasons, but I not only then gained healthy weight back until I was about 124, 125 pounds, hired a new coach, and then started going into a build phase. And so this was the craziest thing, was trying to overcome that relationship with the scale, because I was going into this build. I knew I needed to put more muscle on to be competitive, and I started seeing the numbers go up. And then I passed that 133, 134 mark of where I started and kept going another 10 pounds until I was like 142 to 144 pounds. And that was the biggest challenge, but I'm so glad I went through that, because I was able to, I feel like that's a whole other topic for another time, but realizing that that worth within yourself is not tied to the scale, and it's who you are as a person. And so I was really able to practice that and put that into focus of, hey, you've put on so much muscle. You're eating really clean. You're eating really healthy. It's not that, and you're not the same as you were when you were at 130 pounds. You look completely different, right? So really taking that emotion away from the scale. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I still struggle with it on and off now. But really focusing on trying to have a better relationship with the scale and taking it out completely if you can't handle it too. Like some of my clients, I don't even get them to weigh, right? So really depends on the person, but it's definitely a challenge, and it's not for the person that has struggled necessarily with restrictions in the past, whether it be eating disorders or not being in a good metabolic place. Not saying you can never do it, but you have to be sure that you are in a very, very healthy mental space to be able to do a competition.
Well, thank you for making that so clear. Because I think sometimes it can be a little bit of a shiny object where you're like, you see the pictures of the competitors and you just think like, oh, that's amazing. I want that too. And you don't necessarily know or aren't told about, well, first of all, that physiological response that's just absolutely natural to happen in the sense that your body wants you not just to gain the weight back, but actually wants you to gain more weight back to be on the safe side for a future hunger period or whatever. So all these signals that you had to battle with, and I tip my hat to you for having to do so throughout COVID. I mean, that lockdown was hard enough for anybody as it was, but then adding to that those extra hunger signals, and that I have never competed, but many people just say they just want to feel full at some point, and that feeling doesn't set in for a really, 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 really long amount of time, if it does at all. And so I really can imagine that it was a very challenging time for you. And after a month, regaining your feet under that is very impressive. So I'm glad that you were kind of able to acknowledge, okay, if I continue down this road, it's not a healthy path to go down to. So yeah, I think having that guidance post show from a coach is so important. Every now and then, with clients that we work with, and they're not competitors, but just in general, if they reach their goal, sometimes when we get to the goal, the client's like, okay, I'm good to go on my own. I want to cancel the coaching. I'm like, no, this is the worst time. I'm not saying that for me. I'm saying that for you, because you need to go through a proper reverse diet. Your body is going to tell you to, if you now start eating intuitively, you are 100% guaranteed to gain that weight back plus some probably. So actually the reverse dieting process, and maybe even a little bit into maintenance, is when coaching comes in the most helpful. Earlier, you know, anybody can really kind of go through a deficit if they're not necessarily wanting to compete. They can probably do that on their own. But in a reverse diet, I just say it's so, so important. So yeah, I'm glad that you continued even after your first show, that you continue to look for a good coach. For you know, I personally think with every coach that we hire, we gain a new piece of knowledge. Even if we're already coaches, if we're already knowledgeable, it's just we can pick something else from everybody. So I think there's a lot of value in trialing out different coaches. And yeah, just overall that highlighting here of how important it is to kind of detach from the scale, whether it's in regards to noting that it's just data, It's just like if
Yeah.
you look at your HRV in the morning and you're like, okay, cool, my HRV is this and that. And the same thing should be when you step on the scale. You step on there and you're like, okay, cool. Yesterday I had more sodium, so that's why the weight is a little bit up, but there's no self-worth attached to that. So I really, really like that you highlighted that for us. So now in regards to the show prep in specific, I'd love to hear if there are any, I guess, insights that you have for us that people might not necessarily talk so much, like as you get closer to the show, or even on the show day. What are some challenges or even like weird things that people don't necessarily like let's say the shaving or the spray tan or the like the pump that you try to build up on a show. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so going into show and prepping for a show, I try and be very, very honest and pull back the curtains on my social media and be like, look, this is what it takes to get how lean I am. I did four shows last year, which I also don't recommend to anybody, but I was gunning for my pro card. I was pretty close at a few different competitions. And so that was just my year to really go all out. But I also, when you do that many shows and you're in prep for so long, your body starts to really feel it. And so every time I'd have to go lower and lower calories and lower, right? And more cardio. And so I tried to be really honest about that on social media because I looked the best I ever had. I was lean, I was jacked, I was tanned, right? Like I looked really good. And so with that, I wanted to also show this is my peasant calories of breakfast that I'm getting to eat, right? Like this is the amount of lunch I'm having. This is the amount of dinner I'm having. This is it. I can't have anything. Oh, I'm out with friends and here's my meal prep. Here's my one chicken breast, right? So because, like you said, we see the shiny object and we see, oh my God, you look so good. But a lot of people don't show the grind of what it really takes to achieve that. And so I try really, really hard to show what it took me to get there. So I was really honest about that leading up to it. And it's funny because there's random things that I kind of had to YouTube or figure out for myself before I started in competition. Now I feel good. I have five shows under my belt. The last show I did was international in the Bahamas. So I'm like, if I can compete out of country, somewhere far away, I can do this anywhere. So one of the biggest things is getting a P cup or like a P diva or something like that, because on show day, you're tanned and you can't sit on the toilet seat and you can't just squat because your P can run and then it goes lines all over you, and that will be deducted from your feedback when you get judged. So that was one of the biggest ones. And then also having random like black towels to sit on the toilet so you can still sit, but then you're not squatting. Black bed sheets if you're staying in a hotel so you don't tan all the sheets. Literally shaving everywhere. Like shaving, I know some women shave their arms. I never do. Shaving your arms, your chest, your stomach, as far as you can reach on your back, like your legs, your butt cheeks, like absolutely everything. Naked mole rat, head to toe. Because if you have any hair on you, how the tan goes on, you can kind of see it or it can rub. So you just want to have everything perfect, right? You don't want to diet that hard, work so hard, and then have your tan be messed up on show day, right? Nobody wants that. So, knowing how important those things are, getting ready for show, and then how cool the human body is, and when you get that lean for peak week with manipulating sodium and water, and how much food you have, and how you deplete down, which means depletion for those that don't know, just means like taking out carbs, taking out food from your diet, which makes your muscles look really flat. And so typically you don't look very good a couple days before show. But then the day before show, you add carb, sodium, water back into your diet, and it makes your muscles look bubbly and full. So you look healthy, you look good. Well, you should if you prepped right to go on stage. So there's just all these little things that people don't really know or you don't really see. And there's a lot that goes into stepping on stage.
Very cool. I love how you shared that little insight about even just the tan things. I mean, people don't really don't realize that, and like Yeah, what did you even like kind of use a glue so that the bikini stays on? And I mean, all the effort and it, we have to be honest, it's not a cheap sport. Like if people think, oh, I'm gonna do a bikini competition and all it costs is the entrance fee and maybe the coaching. No. Like you're not talking about your heels, your the bikini itself, the lashes, the makeup, the nails, like literally it adds up. But I think of course if you if that's what someone, if that's someone's preferred sport, there can be so much. I guess what I'm trying to say is like the biggest admiration that I am drawing out from bodybuilding or any kind of physique competition is just that the grind really lies in all the weeks beforehand. And almost all the competitors that I know, they do the sport because of the weeks leading up and not just because of the show day. Like, I don't know a single competitor who doesn't love the training aspect itself. Whereas from other sports, I have often heard, like, you know, let's say a basketball player, volleyball player, or whatever, they're like, training is okay, but like, I love our tournaments. I love this and that. But a physique competitor almost always will tell you, like, for me, it's the daily grind in the gym that I'm just all about.
Yeah, you have to because with other sports, you get those games more often, maybe even once a week, right? Where you will not survive or you will not do another competition if you don't already like training. If it's already a struggle for you to be consistent in the gym, don't use a show as motivation because you will hate your life. After my first show, I actually stopped liking training in the gym, which I'd never had before. And I didn't have that for these past shows last year because I've developed a different relationship with it and I did it better, as we talked about. But you have to love the lifestyle and love the journey of it because you only get that show day for once. And people prep from 12 to 24 weeks to more than that to get ready for a show. So you have to really enjoy this. And nobody also wants to be around somebody complaining about a choice that they made, right? When I'm with my friends and I'm in prep, I'm not like, oh, I can't have this, or oh, I'm so hungry, or blah, 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 because you're choosing it, right? So if that's how you're feeling, it's probably not the right sport for you. And we do have to step away from that shiny object and that body because that's not what it's about. It really is the process. And I love seeing my body change and how we can manipulate certain foods to feel a certain way, to look a certain way, and pulling different levers to see how my body changes, right? But you have to really love the lifestyle leading up to it and not just do it for that one show day.
Yeah, once again, I love your honesty there, Mariah. And I'd love to hear, because I assume you also coach Gen Pop, or do you mostly coach competitors?
No, mostly I literally have two competitors out of 80 clients. We have mostly women 25 to 55 that have struggled in the past with losing weight and being stuck trying all the diets, like mostly general population for women.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd love to hear how you feel, how your own competing has made you an even better coach, or how that's influenced your coaching.
Yeah, so just like we were talking about having coaches, I've learned so much just by having a coach more than a certification or something like that because you get to be your own guinea pig. And so it's that, but times 10 prepping for a show because you just get to know your body so much more. So for me, I know when we go into prep, I would rather keep my fats high and drop my carbs. Rather than most competitors, you typically think we're going to keep carbs higher and fats lower to get more of a pump in the gym or to have more energy. But I'm actually the opposite, right? So it really is person dependent and truly knowing what works for your body. So that has really helped me in a coaching aspect because it's helped me with clients where it's not this generalization of, oh, everybody's going to feel better with having a bit higher carbs, moderate protein, moderate fat. Where actually, no, a lot of my women with hormonal imbalances and PCOS, for example, we actually want to keep fats a lot higher and then carbs a little bit lower with moderate protein. And again, maybe even someone with hormonal issues, they don't feel good on that. So we need to change it. It's very person dependent. So it's taught me a lot about how different people are. And we have data to help us and studies to help us with general ranges to help with coaching. But it can never just be a full blanket statement. You always have to be able to look at a client's data and look at the feedback that it's giving you and then make the accurate changes. So maybe it's not more cardio, it's actually giving your body a break because they're pumping out too much cortisol. And so their body doesn't want to lose fat. They need more sleep, right? Whereas old school is just do more cardio, more activity, get more steps, eat less, you're in a deficit. Woohoo. But that doesn't work if you're causing hormonal imbalances or your cortisol is completely off. We need to actually adjust those things. So it's been really cool to just show me how different people react to different things. And it's helped me a lot in my coaching, which is really cool.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm 100% on the same page when it comes to the individualization and how important that really, really is. And I think this kind of brings us back really nicely to what we were saying in the very beginning about the target for this episode as well, that more is not necessarily always better. So tell me, with regards to your clients and their training, what kind of training frequency do you have them at, or where do you still see that people get the most amount of benefits from? Is it twice a week, 6 times a week, 3 times per week, 7? Where do you really see the sweet spot?
So it's literally different for everybody. We have a ton of nurses that come on that do night shifts. We have people that work from home that sit at their desk. It is so different for everybody because we might have somebody working out at 6 days per week, but it's not regular volume of like an hour workout. It's 15 to 20 minutes, 6 times per week. So it really comes down to a volume game and not necessarily frequency, because you could be doing 5 times per week, but your volume is too high, or you could even be doing 2 times a week and your volume is too high, right? So it really depends. And so we have people anywhere from 2 full body strength training sessions per week because they have an active job or that's all they can get to, or they're a newbie in the gym and that's perfect for them. Whereas we have other people that we do 6 days per week because it's easier to get to the gym more, but they don't have as much time. So they're only there for half an hour tops by the time they get there, in and out. And then we have people that are doing 3 times a week because they want to do 1 or 2 hot yoga sessions a week. So it's really balancing based off the client's lifestyle. And again, it's not a blanket statement. I'm sure you see that with coaching your clients too, and have had clients come to you who've been with other coaches where the one of the biggest issues I see is this blanket statement of it has to be this way, and that's how I coach, and that's my program. But in reality, it really needs to be, okay, this is your lifestyle and this is my program. We're going to mold the two together. I always say, you're not coming into my program. My program's going to fit and mold into you, right? There's the template, there's the structure of it, of fitness, nutrition, habits. But now we need to change what those are to fit your lifestyle so then it's sustainable for you long term, right? Like we talked about the things that make the biggest impact and thinking you need to do a whole lot more. Someone listening might think 2 days per week, there's no way that's going to be enough to change my body. And it totally is, right? With the right workout programming, the right sets, the right reps, and the right rest time, the right amount of protein, you can make a ton of changes with that. The issue is there's a lot of really bad programming on the internet and not the right nutrition facts, following whole foods, etc. So it really can be that amount where you can get the best results, but we've just been programmed into thinking we need to do so much more, when in reality, you get trapped in the recovery trap where you're working out, your body's trying to recover, but how we make progress is adapting. And you can't adapt if you're not giving your body enough time to rest and recover.
Mariah, I absolutely love that approach of just looking, okay, what can you do? What's practical for you? Whether that's 6 times a week or twice. And I'm also considering the stress you mentioned, nurses, a very, very different lifestyle, probably a different sleep pattern, different just perceived stress level than someone who is able to work from home and has no kids. And it's like literally all that they do on that day aside from work. So, yeah, very, very good approach and just a good message for people to internalize. And so, when it comes to your training programs or people in general that come to you, what are some of the exercises or body parts that you often find are missed when before people start working with you, when you look at their program or you ask them, tell me about what you've been doing and what kind of deficits you see there. I'm curious about that.
Yeah, it's typically I'm kind of go to the gym, I'm kind of consistent, and then I fall off. And a lot of women I find are f afraid to train their upper body, or they're afraid to lift really heavy in their upper body because they don't want this bulky effect. They don't want to have too much muscle. But it's really going over, you won't accidentally build too much muscle, right? It's a challenge. I've been training for however many years, and now I'm finally at the point where I'm like, okay, I finally have like the muscle that I want, right? So we won't ever accidentally build too much muscle. What typically happens is you build muscle, but you still have body fat to lose. So you have body fat over the muscle. And so when women come to me and they're like, I want these toned arms, I want to look a certain way, we actually want to add in upper body training. We want to train the triceps, we want to train the biceps, the back, the shoulders, because that's actually going to create more of that feminine look that you want. And when you have that muscle, it's going to achieve that toned look. And if we're also trying to cut or go into a body recomposition, you're going to lose that body fat as well. So your arms are actually going to look better and smaller, even when you've added muscle, because we've reduced that body fat, because your body looks completely different with a higher body fat percentage versus a higher muscle mass percentage, right? So typically it's I want to grow my glutes, but they're not also squatting or hip thrusting enough weight and not eating enough protein to actually build that muscle with the workouts that they're doing.
Yeah, I think you're hitting the nail on the head. And so often, I've unfortunately seen that too, where women want to just start by going into a cut, and they're like, no, I want to expose the muscle that I have without the building phase at first, and so on. So obviously heading into it with the wrong mindset. But then quite often we get to their quote unquote goal weight, and they're like, oh, I'm not looking the way that I thought I would. I kind of look like a deflated version of my previous self. I'm like, yeah, that's because we didn't spend enough time building the muscle. But yeah, exactly. You're not. I have yet to meet the person that accidentally got too muscly. I don't think that that actually exists. But yeah, Mariah, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. I'm obviously going to put all your handles in the show notes so people can learn from your content and check out your future competitions. Do you have anything in the works in the next few months, or when are you planning to step on stage again?
I'm in a big health phase right now. So, just as our theme for today, always listening to your body and doing what it needs to, not necessarily what you want. I wanted to do another competition. It's still not completely out of the books, but I'm focusing on a lot of internal health things that I need to focus on and recover from doing four shows last year. So that's my main focus right now. And I'm sharing a lot of that on social media. So that's the big focus right now. But there will be competitions in the future, just not sure when yet.
I love it. Nothing better than being aware of your health and listening to your body. So, yeah, truly thank you for your time today. And yeah, I'm just tr grateful we got to connect.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Mariah. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. And remember, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you're looking for premium supplements, our partner, Fat Muscle Project, has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every single month. Thank you for listening.